T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Real Postgame Show on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zooty. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. The Patriots come up short against the Texans. Now it's time for the Real Postgame Show with Glenn Ordway, Steve DiAzzi, and Fred Smirlis. The phone lines are open. Call 617-779-7937. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Ordway, DiAzzi, and Smirlis on EEI.
Well, the Patriots had a long, tough road if they were going to make the playoffs, and they probably had to win this game today, guys. And they did not. They dropped to 4-6, and they make this really, really difficult if they want to play in the postseason. And this one was frustrating today.
Yes, it was, Glenn.
Very frustrating. You had opportunities. You couldn't stop that offense in the first half. There were some situations there that they could take advantage of, and they didn't. And that's what you get.
Well, they got sacked. He got sacked down by the 10-yard line. He got sacked again. To virtually end the game. And in that area, we had to stop the first one and kick a field goal. It still needed a touchdown to win. So it was crucial situations. They didn't execute.
Maybe one stop by the defense that mattered? Three and out?
Yeah, I would say one. Yeah, that was about it. I mean, Deshaun Watson was very, very good
very
in this
good.
Game.
It makes you wonder how they have the record that they have.
I know, Steve. It's unbelievable. It's their third win. Well,
it made me look up the numbers. He's like the fifth or sixth rated quarterback in the league. So their issues haven't been at quarterback so much. I don't know what their issues are.
They're the worst at stopping the run.
I'll give it to them, though. They lost Cobb after first touchdown. Yep. And then Stills did not really play in this game. So what did they do? They went to tight ends. They really couldn't go that much to Darren Fells because they were covering him. But they figured we'll get some mismatches. We'll get some linebackers lined up with like Jordan Akins and Farrell Brown.
Yep.
And those guys caused them misery in this game.
Yeah, and Fells was big to early on too. I mean, it just... What you thought was the strength of this defense, if there was a strength, was that secondary, and the secondary didn't show up.
Well, the quarterback dodged. I mean, he was running all over the place. When they got close, he got out and ran and threw balls to guys that were wide open. But he also threw some tremendous balls.
Yeah, he
really was on.
Having not watched him a lot, maybe two times already this season, they didn't expect this out of him. He was throwing some darts too. It wasn't like he was making their lucky catch or anything.
Yeah,
there were some darts.
Perfect.
And even when they tried to get pressure on him, he was escaping them. And when they tried to keep him in the pocket, he still escaped that too. When they put a spy on him, that didn't matter either. So there was any number of things defensively at the Patriots.
Well, I will say this, because they had extra DBs out there, and so he got great pass protection because they weren't rushing a lot, and he took advantage of that. You're right, Steve. And then once everybody was covered, what did he do? He started using his feet, and he was able to do some stuff. But he had two or three great throws to Brandon Cooks in this game. I mean, there were some phenomenal passes that he threw.
He was on all game.
I want to bring this up about Cam Newton, who struggled in the first half. He was a better in the second half. But how is it that a guy that's this big, this tall, gets so many passes battered down?
because he has a slow wind up and release, and that gives him, Freddie, you know this as a D lineman, that gives you a split second more to get your hands up in that situation. So you're right, at 6'5", you shouldn't be getting those balls.
J.J. Watts blocked a couple of them.
Yeah, I mean,
crucial parts of the game too, Fred.
Yeah, and it's I think that's probably the wind up that is, you know, I mean, maybe that's it, or you know, trying to throw through that. Most quarterbacks, even if they are as tall as him, they try to throw in between the guys. I'm not sure what the issue there is, but there was a lot of batted passes.
This team has to run the football to be effective, and they had difficulty doing that. And then, of course, they got behind in the game.
Well, they switched. They usually are three-man front.
Three-man front.
They
correct.
Put the backers up tight. They weren't going to let you run.
Correct.
Campbell's going to have to do a decent job, but a couple of those balls were in the dirt and wide-open guys, you know, which are crucial. And so the crucial times that he fronted, he failed.
Well, there were a bunch of stuff. You just talked about
that. Those outside blitz, Glenn, twice.
Yep.
The same blitz nailed them on the going in for the touchdown. He had to kick a field goal, first one, second one, at the end of the game.
And he doesn't see it real well, Fred. So it comes up on him very quickly. But you're right about the low passes. The other one I think that he really has a problem with, and you tell me if you notice this, he locks in on certain receivers. So for a while, it was Jacoby Myers. And then early on in this game, it was Bird. And then suddenly he goes to N'Keal Harry. And it seems that he likes it. He finds that he gets an opening. He connects with that receiver. And then he keeps on going back to it. But is that really spreading it out and really looking for that open guy?
No. He looks at the opening guy.
Well, that's the thing. He does telegraph.
It's pre-snap looks, right?
Yeah, a lot of it is. But he does tell. He does tend to lock in. And we've seen it. Today it was with Bird. We saw the last two games with
Myers.
Myers. So you know he does.
And then late with Harry in this game, who hadn't seen anything for a while.
Yeah, you see him locking in, and sometimes that's I know you want to play the hot. You got to read the whole field.
Plus, what killed them then? You know, they had chances and they had to kick field goals. What it was really useless to give it for a field goal because you have to get a touchdown anyway, right?
Yes.
When they're down there, why not just go for it? You know,
with the defense not stopping them, you know, the touchdowns were at a premium, and you're right. It's
didn't matter.
Yeah.
So if you had to get a field goal, then that was just useless, totally useless. And the defense was getting tired. They weren't getting pressure. The coverage was okay at times, but it was throwing the ball at right pinpoint passing. Like Steve said, we haven't seen him that much. He looked outstanding.
Yeah,
I thought they got some good mismatches out there, too. They really did. And that's why I think the tight end really worked effectively. And you talk about where the strength is. Well, the strength is at your corners, and the strength is at your safeties. And once you can line up a linebacker, Steve, you tell me, against one of those tight ends, you've got an advantage. I think teams are going to look at what they're doing in this game and say, that's the one way we can get around that defensive secondary of New England.
Agreed.
But what was the weakness
backs,
of the
backs and tight ends?
What was the weakness of Houston? It's the defense, and they
running
packed
the
everyone in there. Yeah, wrong. So they packed it in there, and it's throwing the ball.
Weren't they running the ball fairly decent at the beginning of the game?
They ran the first touchdown.
And then when you start falling behind, the usefulness of the run is way less than it would when you start making up. You know, 10, 11 points, now all of a sudden you're forced to throw the ball.
And Steve, on the first downs, they were losing yards a bunch of times. Coming out of there was second and three, second and four, second and three, five, and then made some great defense passes. We did on third and long, you know, a bunch of good plays like that. But he was so ineffective. I mean, just up and down so much, Cam did. And you listen to Zoe throwing the ball, and he's throwing in the dirt. He can't throw with dirt when the guy's wide open.
Nope.
Listen, anytime you force him into a passing game, and virtually a passing game, he's going to be a problem.
Agreed.
He really is. He's going to be a problem. In a running game, he can be effective. Certainly, he can run as well, and he did numerous times in this game when he had to. Play action, he can sell it sometimes because of the run. But Fred's right. Houston just packed it into the box and said, we're not going to let them run. So they're going to have to throw the football. He had some success early on, and then suddenly he's not really throwing the ball. His decision-making is not great. We just talked about how he hones in on one receiver and looks him down. And eventually, you're going to get caught with that. He's lucky he didn't give it up.
And even with that being said, This game was lost with, what, about a little less than 4 minutes left in the first half, and they let up 14 points.
14 points in 3 minutes.
In three and a half. About, it was close to 4 minutes. Then, but it doesn't matter. Even so, that's what's supposed to be, I guess it's a strength of this team compared to what the offense is, but it wasn't much of a strength today.
They have no margin for error, though, that
Agreed.
Defense. The defense has to play great. There's no margin for
they
error.
They don't have any pass rushes, really.
And again, you're not playing a real good team here. They're now 3-7. They came into this game with two wins on the season. They have all sorts of injuries. The left side of the offensive line was out, including Tunzel, who's a really good player.
And their guard, too, yeah.
And their guard was out on the left side. And then they lose the two wide receivers early on in this game. Yep. I don't even think Stills was out there, was he? Maybe he was out there.
He got out for a few plays, but he
didn't. And that was it. And the Cobbs was out for the touchdown. And then right after that, that's where he got hurt. He left at that point. So they were scrambling as well. Rex Burkhead, like a tremendous, that
terrible.
Looked really bad. Oh. Really bad, guys.
That was you talk about a guy that's
big part of your offense.
He's done everything he asked him this year. So that's
had a really good year.
Yeah, absolutely right. And of course, Wynn going down late in the game too. That's not going to help either.
Nope.
How bad was his injury?
He was playing well too. I mean,
yeah, real well.
I mean, the whole year. We don't know how bad the injury is yet.
Rolled up that ankle. It looked like again. Yep. And you know who knows what the story is. There are a bunch of injuries in this game. A bunch of injuries around the league. We'll get to all of those, including Joe Burrow. Who has already
horrific.
Tweeted out that he's done for the season.
Yep.
So there was a lot of violent hits in the course of the NFL today. So the drill is as follows. We'll get to the phone calls at 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Fred's here, Steve's here, and we're waiting for Bill Belichick. We'll go to the podium once Belichick talks, and then we'll go back there for Cam Newton. Overall, the Patriots lose a game they needed to win. They are now 4-6 on the season, and there are a lot of teams ahead of them.
Well, the frustrating part, though, Glenn, you saw him moving the ball to get in position to be able to try to get a touchdown, and they settle for a field goal, and then they get in the same position. The outside blitz comes flying. He's not aware of it and gets sacked again. Anything but getting sacked, you know, took him out of your position in the first one when he gets sacked. And then this one, he almost got away and then tried to heave it up. But you had the opportunities, one after the other, and you failed on them.
Hey, Fred, he is what he is.
He is what he is.
I hate to say it. Yep. He's a limited quarterback.
Agreed.
And I think what they've done is Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, because I laugh because a lot of people have looked the last few weeks, and they're looking at numbers and completion percentage, and they say, hey, maybe he's figured it out. Maybe it was a reaction to COVID. Maybe that was no. What they've done is they have tightened up the offense. They have limited the number of risky passes. They're keeping it very simple, okay? And they're keeping it away from his weaknesses. And they're trying to get him to manage the offense right now, aren't they?
But Glenn, he had a couple opportunities. It was wide open. He could have ran for 10, 15 yards, and he threw the ball in a couple of bad passes, but he had opportunities around which he didn't. He
and if you were to look at his stats, I mean, 26 of 40 for 365. Let's even take that last one off. You're still talking about 25 of 39, 300-plus yards. So it's not like he's putting some yards up there. It's just that they're
not in the right places.
The plays weren't being made when they had to be made.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime they had to make a big play, they weren't really making them. That Bird touchdown was a big play. He made that one.
Yep.
But I'll give it to him on that last drive. He actually had to go out and play a little defense out there because J.J. Watt batted the ball down.
Yep.
And it looked like Watt was going to get it, and it was Cam Newton who was the one that battered it and played a little defense. But he is what he is, guys. I mean, this is what you're dealing with. And I think you look around this league, guys, and you guys know better than anybody, if you don't have good quarterback play, really good quarterback play, I don't know how you win.
Agreed.
And go deep into the postseason in this league.
Agreed. The days of the Baltimore defense winning a Super Bowl for you with a terrible quarterback are gone. You've got to have somebody that's going to compete.
It's not that great
level,
a defense,
you know.
That's
what I mean. The
day you're right.
Buffalo
don't have it.
And Baltimore won it with I don't even know who the hell their quarterback was. The you know, that was just a dominating, ridiculous defense. And there's been a lot of rule changes since.
Trent
but
Dilfer.
Still, Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer.
Yeah. So you know, it's one of those things where this league is defined by quarterback, and I understand it, and it's exciting, and it's fun to watch, but right now the Patriots are on the low end of the totem
pole. That's why your point is a good one. You look in and say, Deshaun Watson, is a really good quarterback.
Really right? good.
How are they only 3-7?
Their defense. That's why.
Yeah. And by the way, and that's something they used to have, a strong defense, J.J. Watt and Clowney and Merciless inside. So they had a really good a defense, and right now they've got skilled players on the offensive side. It's amazing, but that's a good quarterback to have. And he was a better quarterback than Cam Newton.
Yeah, you can also look at Houston. They've lost to the Chiefs, the Ravens, the
Close
Steelers,
games too.
The Vikings. Who else have they
Browns,
lost to?
Right?
They lost to the Packers. Yeah. You know, I mean, they've beaten they lost to the Browns, who are a decent team. But, yeah, I mean, they've lost some – they've played some tough teams, but – I was surprised at how good Deshaun Watson was.
Yeah, we're watching him. I said, Steve, he's not that good. Steve goes, well, we haven't seen him that much, and he's out there.
Yeah.
And when he's breaking to get out of the away from everybody, he's looking downfield. He's throwing bullets.
He was throwing some darts today.
It's unbelievable because all he needs is a split second to find an opening, and he zips that ball.
Yeah, quick as release is?
It's the opposite with Newton because a couple of times you could see it. He was late getting it out to receivers, and in a couple of those occasions he was lucky. The receiver ended up catching the ball, one to Harry, another one to Bird.
Yep.
But you could see it. The ball kind of lofted up, and he looked uncomfortable releasing it.
A lot of low
it.
Balls, Glenn.
Yep.
When you're free and you're getting out and you have no one's around you and you throw it in the dirt, it can't happen. It's not a lot of room for margin for error out there.
All right, let's get to some reaction. We'll get to some phone calls, and then we'll take you out there to Houston. We'll hear from Bill Belichick. We'll hear from Cam Newton. Patriots are now 2 games under the 500 mark, and this is going to be very, very difficult for them. I thought it was going to be difficult to make it anyway. I thought they were probably going to have to win 6 of the remaining 7. Now they're going to have to win 6 of the remaining 6 if they want to have any shot at this thing. Right, exactly. All right, to the phone calls we go. Here's Mike in Framingham on the Real Post Game Show. Hello, Mike.
How you doing? Two things. First off, the play right before the fourth quarter where Cam threw it to Bird and Bird went out of bounds, nobody was within 20 yards of Bird. So even when he completed passes, there was no yak because of Cam's passing. And J.J. Watt, I don't know how many times he smacked the ball down. I never saw that with Brady.
No, Tom, he knows how to live with the ball, up, down, behind your leg. He has a good vision to see where the rushes are and how to get the ball. Plus, as Steve was talking about, you can't even tell when Tom's going to throw the ball because he doesn't wind up. He throws it so quickly, it's hard to get a break on it.
But see, to compare Cam Newton to the greatest of all time is
not
because
fair.
Tom, you think that's a stretch?
That's a huge stretch. The last 2 years, not counting the last two
you
years
can't
of Cam Newton,
get to that.
But so Tom Brady could put the ball down and away if the defender was on the backside of the receiver. He could put the ball high and away or whatever he needed to do. He could put it in that area. Cam Newton is consistently behind his receivers in the dirt, sometime way too many times. And it's just he just doesn't have that accuracy that we've been spoiled by for the last 20 years.
And he reads what's coming. If he sees a blitz coming, he knows where it's going to be, who's coming there, where the open receiver's going to be. He knows it's I got 2 seconds to throw it. Cam starts trying to run with it or turns just flat-footed. If he looked there and see, he could tell the linebackers, God, the linebackers, he didn't see it.
So the Patriots have always done a terrific job against J.J. Watt. I mean, he has really been ineffective against the Patriots in 7 previous meetings.
Well, they say no sacks in 7 games?
Yes. And all they do, as you know, is they bring a second guy because they move him around. They'll move that second guy. Izzo was out there quite a bit. Today is that second guy. Had difficulty with J.J., by the way.
He whiffed on him one time.
Yeah, he did. It was unbelievable. But I will say this. You just nailed it. The difference is the quarterback.
Yeah.
And so J.J. Watt is a smart football player.
Yep.
He starts to get a read after a while, and he says, wait a minute, once he pats that ball, this is what he's doing. So he reads it. Brady doesn't give you anything to read.
That one
he doesn't. It's unpredictable.
Although that one play where you had Izzo actually blocking Watts, that made no sense whatsoever. As soon as I saw that,
couldn't just be standing by yourself.
Why do you even do? Why would you? Are you purposely trying to embarrass somebody?
He froze.
Is that what that is? I mean, come on.
Grab a shirt. I would do something.
All right, let's go to Peter. Peter's in Cambridge. What do you got, Peter?
Hey, I hate to sound like a urologist, but have they heard of urgency before?
Nothing.
so
Peter,
fast.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Never in a hurry to get the next playoff.
Yeah, but, but guess what? Even when they do get the playoff, does it matter?
No, they're not talented.
No, you're right. I mean, but sometimes, especially if you got a quarterback that's not seeing things the way you expect them to see things, or you've been used to for so long, sometimes if you try to be have that, I don't know, maybe a what do you call it, up tempo offense, maybe sometimes the communication's not there.
How many no huddles did they run?
Not a lot.
I don't think they trust them. In a no-huddle situation. I'm not disagreeing with what Peter said with urgency. Yep. I don't think anybody's going to look at this team and say they're not trying and they're not playing real hard.
Agreed.
They're simply not good enough, and they don't have good enough players, Fred, to make big plays down the stretch. So how many games have we seen like this season? Three of them, four of them, where they're right in the game right at the end, and then they can't make the play because they're not good enough.
That's right.
Seattle, I mean, you go down the list. I mean, they easily could have won three more games if they had some urgency or get some, you know, understanding.
Buffalo could have won that game.
Buffalo, the fumble there, but up in Seattle, the people penetrated. Before he even got the ball and started running, there was three guys at his feet.
Yep. Here's Dave. Dave's in the truck next up here. Real post-game show. Hello, Dave.
Glenn, Fred, Steve, what's up, guys?
How what's up, Dave?
Hey, listen. I'm very disappointed at the offensive play calling. You know, this team so far this year has been built on offensive running the ball. They're playing a team that's last in the league in defensive run. And Damian Harris touches the ball 11 times. I just don't understand.
Can I interrupt you, Dave? Can I interrupt you for just a second? I think absolutely. Hold on. I think just the opposite of what you're saying. I think Josh McDaniels has been great this year. He is taking chicken bleep and at least at times making it smell and taste a little bit like chicken salad. He's got nothing. They got nothing. No, they're doing trick plays every single game to score.
You don't have the entire playbook in play, Dave. The entire playbook is not in play.
I think just the opposite. I think they're the stars of the team right now.
Turn your radio down, Dave. Turn your radio down.
I don't think it's his radio. I think it's the line. But go
ahead. Plays that worked when they threw the ball because there was the guys open because they're so bent on stopping that run. Yeah. Look at how the last scrimmage, the back is close. Every time they get through, they think they how many plays do they get stopped, Steve, for losses?
Yeah.
More than half the time.
You're stuck with a maybe average quarterback right now. Maybe.
Guys,
I wouldn't even say that.
They're sitting there trying to make it up on the fly here. Yeah. I'm sorry, Dave, to interrupt you. I just totally think it's just the opposite.
Glenn, listen. They're 4-1 when they have more rushing attempts than passing attempts.
The reason is they're losing those games, and running the ball usually doesn't work too much when you're down 14
points.
They
ran a lot today. They ran 24 times, and they were trailing in the game virtually the entire game other than the first touchdown.
You get a team that's down – you get a team with a good quarterback that's down 14 points. They've got a passing offense they can work with.
Steve, what did Romeo think? I'm going to take the run away because you have a poor quarterback and make him win the game, and they couldn't.
Absolutely correct.
I'll tell you what, they got a gift in that Cam did not cough the ball up with an interception because I think that's part of the strategy of Romeo. You're sitting there going, they're going to make mistakes if they throw the football. If they run the football, they're probably going to be fairly clean in this thing. And he's looked at the last few games, and that's exactly what they've done.
And Glenn, you put up the point where they had decent coverage because he's playing Watson, right? But what happens is they couldn't get to him. He rolls out. DBs have to come up, and he's thrown to open people.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to cover a guy for 6 seconds.
Never.
You know, I mean,
I tell you what, next week they're going to be covering a guy for 8 seconds.
He might be the hottest quarterback in the league.
Watch out. Here's Jimmy in Malden, formerly of Saugus.
Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy. Oh, you missed your cue, Jimmy.
Jimmy!
He's on to the refrigerator.
You got
to
be kidding me.
Oh, my.
I got to wait. I feel bad for Jimmy.
And he was.
It's Thanksgiving. He's probably cooking.
I know he has a good one waiting for us, too. I guarantee
you.
Jimmy's got his all time best.
He's typing it this time.
He texted me earlier, says, I got
probably
a good one for you.
He's practicing in the other room.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy, we can't wait anymore, buddy.
But Glenn, I think you're right. You know, the ability for, I mean, the plays they called. A lot of them worked.
I have no problem.
I thought they did a decent job of doing that, but just don't have the guys that can, you know, act on opportunities. They can't.
Houston got especially in the red zone. Houston got aggressive. They started sending guys. Yep. Right? They started blitzing, and they effectively ran the little screen pass. They started putting that, and they took the pressure off. I have no problem with the play call. You had two more trick plays today. Week, we have two trick plays. How many trick plays did we have in 20 years before that?
Right.
There's a reason you have to do it.
Trick plays, because you don't have the personnel.
Trick
plays were what other teams ran against the Patriots. All right, that wasn't what the Patriots did. And I get it. It's one of those scenarios where you're frustrated because you think play calling can overcome the deficiency that you have at quarterback. And I'm not sure that's the case.
And one more factor, Steve. How many penalties they have today?
Yeah.
This is the most they had.
Yeah,
penalties.
They had seven or eight today.
Some big plays called
that.
I'll tell you the other thing that you could probably, if you had the insight to know, you could probably bet that Tom Brady knew to a fair certainty what the next play call was going to be.
Yeah.
Him and Josh were on such the same plane that they understood the flow of the game. They understood what they were trying to accomplish, not just on that play, but in that drive and in the game. You're talking about a quarterback who knew everything there was to know about this
offense. Onboard computer, Steve,
and a guy that worked great play calling for years. This isn't about the play calling right now. This is about the execution.
Exactly.
No, I actually think that the coaching staff has done a great job, and that's the reason that Cam has been better in the last 3 weeks. Is they have put him in a box and they have said, this is what he can do. This is our identity based on the skill set of our quarterback, and we're going to do this. And every once in a while, you go outside the box and you try a trick play here or there, and you catch somebody off guard.
That's why a team with not much talent has been in every game. They've been in every game, but just don't have enough firepower.
Once
you get to
it
is, but also you get down the red zone, that's when it's very difficult because everyone's close to the line of scrimmage. So you need some pinpoint passing or some diversion. Look one way, throw the other way. Don't look at the guy the whole time. Or if the blitz is coming, you're not aware of it, there's something wrong there.
So early on in the game, Damian Harris was running the ball effectively. So Houston said, screw this. We're not going to allow them to run the football. We're going to force them to throw the football. So they just kept on loading it up inside. And guess what happened? They were able to contain, especially from the outside runs, they were able to contain Damian Harris.
Yes, they could.
Yep, and from that point on, New England was one-dimensional, and it was the weakest dimension they provide out there, and that became a real problem. Even though Cam did have some success throwing the football in the second half. Here's Barry in Salem, New Hampshire. Hello, Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Hey, guys. I couldn't disagree with you more. It's not that they didn't run enough today. It was when they ran. It was the timing. They didn't run hardly at all on first down.
They ran a bunch of times and they got stopped for a loss of yardage and most of them. They were going to take the offense, run game.
They were running on second and 10. Check back your records and see how many second and 10s they had.
Because of where the defense was.
Incomplete passes or got knocked
down. Barry, because of the defensive personnel that was on the field.
Look who was on the field.
So what Houston was doing is they were just loading it up inside saying, we're not going to let you run. On first down, we're not going to let you run. So when you get second and 10 or third and 10, that's a different situation. But because you can back off a little bit, but they weren't going to let you run. You got to give it to Houston. They're not they're the worst run defense in the league. But what all they did was they put an extra body up there.
Or two.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's what happens. You can take something away, but you have to be able to go to something. And the run game was erratic. I mean, the pass game was erratic.
So are you set? Are you saying that they changed their defense
yes.
in that first draft no, they had and the
no, they were just patient.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
knew that eventually the they were hoping that eventually that could help.
Right.
Stop
and the
run.
Patriots weren't.
The Patriots there was a different defense. There were four man front and they had backers that were closer. They were all trying
to
stop the
run.
Safeties.
Yep.
If you look at the Patriots, put eight men out there, they stop their pass.
Barry, I hate to say it. I understand what you're saying, that the running is the best thing that you can do offensively.
Exactly.
But if a team loads everything up and doesn't give it to you, you're kind of banging your head against a brick wall, aren't
you? They're daring you to beat them with the pass.
So if they're packing it in for the run, that would mean that if you're a good offense, that means something in the passing game should be open, correct? So why would you sit there And like Glenn said, bang your head against the door when you could actually just turn the doorknob. It's when defense takes away something, they have to expose something else. They were packing it in for the run. So if you want to throw the ball, go ahead and throw the ball. I think they still tried to run the ball, but the fact is they weren't able to do it.
And there was years ago, the year before, they played Buffalo and they had 300 yards rushing because they were packing it in, bringing their defensive linemen and linebackers at Tom, and they just handed it off on draws and boom, 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 boom. Everyone was like, that pass, and they had 3 yards rushing because they wanted to take away the run. See, so the Patriots just went, the pass, so they went to the run and killed them.
See, that's the difference, and you just brought it up, and I think people are having trouble seeing that visually. They're sitting there going, why aren't we switching? Why aren't we doing this? Because they remember with Tom Brady, you were able to change up what you were doing if a team suddenly said, we're not going to give you this, right? They were able to do it with Tom Brady.
There is no other this in this team.
Can't do it with this guy. He's limited.
That's right.
He's limited in what he can do. That's why I don't understand why people, and listen, he seems like a really nice guy. He's a really good dresser. You should pick up some of his wardrobe, Fred, because I think it'll look good in some of this stuff.
I have a couple. I'm not wearing it
good. Now. Good. Good.
But you're right, Glenn. People always look at one thing. They say, if we run, you'd have probably got, you've been out three and out the whole game.
Absolutely.
That's what they wanted you to do.
You could see it.
Your defense let up 14 points in the last 4 minutes of the half.
Right. And that was a killer because you, unlike the old days again with Brady, you could give up 14 in a short period of time and you could make it up. You don't have that luxury. And by the way, you didn't really have that luxury last year when Tom didn't have that many skilled players like this year wrapped around him. It was a little bit more difficult. So I think it is aesthetically different for a lot of people that are watching and saying, well, why can't we do this? Why can't we do that? Because you don't have the personnel.
You don't.
You just can't be that broad in your game. You are extremely limited.
You're going to see a lot more of this next week, too.
Let me ask an even more simple question. Do you think all of a sudden this coaching staff that guided the greatest dynasty or 20-year period in any NFL time, you think all of a sudden they forgot how to coach?
They get dumb.
Do you think
they just get dumb overnight?
Do you think they got dumb?
Yeah,
that's exactly what I'm hearing.
Belichick 68. When you're 68, I can tell you get dumb.
Is that true, Fred?
Dumb.
Is that true?
Fred? No, that's
terrible. You're dumb. That's it. Wait, it's right around the corner for you
guys. Can't wait.
Dumb.
What?
But Glenn, I gotta give it to you. You said it off earlier. The limited playbook.
Yeah.
Tom knows the playbook. He used to come at 5 in the morning, study. He knows everything. Cam right now has just been here for a few months.
Fred,
aren't
you amazed
preseason.
When you see how simple this is, what they're doing out there?
I mean,
the RPO today, by the way, was a throw. They actually broke it out to a throw today in an RPO. But it's so simple, but they have to do that because of what they're dealing. That's why, again, Cam Newton seems like a wonderful guy. And he's been a nice bridge guy.
His effort's not the issue.
No, he tries his ass off. He seems to say all the right things. But come on, if you want to get to the next level and move this thing forward, you can't do it with this guy. This guy's limited in what he can do.
Nope. Agreed.
It's just limited.
It's just hard to watch sometimes.
Well, when you don't have those many things to go to, too, all of a sudden they get not, you know, they're looking at them, too. This is coming. They're probably yelling out the plays before he ran them.
Well, we already gave the Cam Newton numbers. He actually had more yards passing than Deshaun Watson did, though it's very deceiving because he threw like a Hail Mary there at the end.
50-yard
pass they added that in. But you look at the numbers, and the numbers don't look bad for Cam Newton. 26 of 40, 365, 9 yards average, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, 2 sacks, and a 102 passer.
But where were those sacks? Where were those sacks?
They were two key sacks and two key plays.
Agreed.
Then you look at Deshaun Watson, 28-37, 344 yards. Again, 9 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, passer rating of 121.9. The difference between the quality of the two quarterbacks today, even though Cam was much better in the second half, was different. I mean, Watson was so much better than Cam Newton.
Again, if you took the yardage that Watson accumulated while he was running around, it was probably 450 yards.
He was 36 yards on the ground.
And he was always looking down. If you watch, he was always looking downfield. You say, wow, they get him on the run. He's coming. Then all of a sudden he breaks out and sees the field and throws the ball perfectly. So
I tell you, he was throwing some darts today. It was he hit some passes, not just good passes, but passes in stride and passes from different angles. I mean, he looked great today, and I'm not surprised when you look up the numbers. He's fifth or sixth rated quarterback in the league right now.
Yeah,
we just don't see enough of him, and because his team's losing, you look at it and say, how can you have a really good quarterback and you have a losing record? How is that possible?
Because multi-dimensional, too. You know, long pass, short pass, run, everything, finding new areas.
Maybe that's why the coach was fired. Maybe the owner saw the same thing and said, we got a quarterback that can play at a high level in this league, and we're winning one game? Come on.
Yeah.
Switch quarterbacks in that game.
Yeah. You switch quarterbacks, and it's a
win by 20.
Yeah. There's no question about it.
They try. Right. They just don't have the
tools.
And again,
they're limiting the risk factor when it comes to Cam Newton. I think the coaching staff is doing that. That's why I find it interesting that we've already had two calls questioning the coaching. I think just the opposite. I think the coaching is really bundling him up, putting him in a box, and making him protective so that he doesn't make an awful lot of mistakes.
They're not asking him to do the things they asked Brady to do, and I understand that. There's not a lot of quarterbacks you'd ask to do that. I get it, except that this was the best option available at the time that they decided on it, but the fact is he's just not that good anymore.
He isn't. Here's Jay. Jay's in Connecticut next up. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
We're waiting for Belichick, by the way, if you're wondering whether he's spoken. He is not. Go ahead, Jay. Hello, Jay.
Jay, you with us?
Jay in Connecticut.
Jay went to the fridge, too.
All right, let's try Jimmy in Malden, formerly of Saugus, formerly of I don't know where. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Houston, we have a problem.
I knew that
was
coming.
Ground
control to Major Cam.
I knew that was coming.
Jimmy.
Ground Jimmy
Stephens. Major Cam.
Sometime low hanging fruit. We did it Jimmy. Perfectly.
I'll give it,
well,
I'll give
well
it
done,
to
Jimmy.
Him. It was very predictable, Houston, we have a problem.
Well done. With a little musical interlude afterwards. That's great.
But the thing is so frustrating. Seeing all these years, they got a chance to tie it up by getting a touchdown. They drive all the way down the field, right? And what happens? Blitz that he saw before, he'd get sick by. Oh.
He does get confused by some of that stuff.
Yes.
He doesn't read it real well. And
well, a blitz is coming, Glenn. Sometimes he's vacating an area. If you turn and see it, the opportunities are right there. Yeah. But he didn't see it.
Well,
they
sandwiched them that one time. They came from both ends. It was like he had no out there. Here's Paul. Paul's in Westfield. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
I've been laughing nonstop. First of all, this is why we're jabroni callers and you're experts. You're all right on point with your separate points. The favorite one is 20 years of being Einstein in domination and we suddenly can't add is silly. We just don't have the time and the plays and the combinations and the time together, 100%. Right. I mean, today was a hell of a game. And then you've noticed Cam was throwing much better today on the move.
He did.
A couple of key plays, and that game goes the other way.
Exactly.
And Glenn, before you throw out the baby with the bathwater, Cam, based upon your own what you call collective analysis, it's a shock we're even doing this good with this type of ingredient.
You're right.
And this is the other big point. You guys keep forgetting this. For 20 years, use Buffalo as an example. You wake up, you're red, white, and blue. You got your crud kicked out of you. And there's the king and his champion core off to the canoodling fest because we have the brain and the skills and the ability. Now it's like we're a lame duck. Our defense is intermittent. Cam just got back from being sick. They're foaming at the mouth, and they play so much better because the fear and intimidation is replaced by stability and strength. And people play really good against us for the first time.
True.
That's another factor. You got to give Cam a break.
I wouldn't say Baltimore did, and the Baltimore may have been overlooking you and thinking about Tennessee this week. So I'm not sure that's totally accurate. But they're still the Patriots, and teams are probably looking at it. They get the best of us for a long period of time. We finally get the opportunity to stick it to them because I don't think Buffalo played great against them. I don't think Seattle played great against them.
That's a gimme. Buffalo, you fumbled the ball on the 10-yard line. You know?
Well, there were so many times.
And today Tennessee shut down Baltimore, and Baltimore shut down Tennessee. This is the craziest season ever. Just fasten the seatbelt and hold on.
But this team has a they have a problem with talent. That's the problem.
This could be their best coaching job right now.
Yeah, they have a talent. They have a talent problem, and a lot of kids are getting out there. And if you notice, you're seeing more of Duggar. Some really good things and some mistakes out there. Winovich the same way. Uche the same way. So I think you're going to go through some growing pains, and let's see whether these kids can be legitimate players going forward. I think that's how we have to look at it.
Would that mean it's Stidham time?
Stidham time.
I doubt it. I doubt it right now.
The whole way with them.
I mean, I would keep some stability here right now. I don't think Cam's been awful. I don't think he's been bad. I just don't think he's good enough now.
Agreed.
As an NFL quarterback where he can go and help you win an awful lot of games.
He can't throw it up in the air and have a Gronk drag it down.
These young guys that are getting playing time right now, they might be guys that Belichick sees as players in the future, the guys that are going to help their team in the future. And maybe they don't see that about Stidham.
Who was the kid that came in today? They took off
I don't know. What are you talking
about? He came
in
the first game today. He ran and caught the ball.
Who
was the kid
I don't know.
When he puts on a
bag. How are we supposed to know what you're talking about when you don't know what you're talking about?
You're right, Steve. So he came out and ran for it. The first down, the kid came off the wire yesterday.
Awesome.
Start
him next
offensive
week.
Offensive player?
Start him next week.
Yeah. First play.
He's talking about Dante Moncrief. That was later in the game.
I understand that, but that guy comes off the first
Well, he's been around. He's been around.
I understand
around.
That, but he was activated. And that's what you got. You know, guys that are average players at best, most of them, except for the old line.
Might be a stretch. Yeah.
This might be a situation where not the main goal, but one of the goals, and we know that Bill Belichick is very capable of holding any number of ideas in his head, that he's going to get some guys, he's going to look at some young guys and say, okay, maybe they could be part of the future.
Yeah.
You know, he's not thinking, I don't think he's sitting there thinking, oh, it's all about future. I'm thinking, you know, you have an opportunity, and you're not just
who stands out. You know,
not just an opportunity; you're almost forced into it by any number of situations. Why not use it?
He's been more open the last few weeks about long-term prospects, short-term prospects. He's been a lot more open, I think, about that, guys. Let's face it; he can't come out and say, we're not going to be that good this year, or we're probably not going to make the playoffs this year. He can't say it. But deep down inside, he is well aware of it. Again, he's a pretty smart guy over the last 20 years. He's looking at it. I'll guarantee you he's saying that, it really is what we can do next year. Whether these kids can come up and play and be contributors next year, because they're going to have plenty of money, and what do they need to add into all of this mix? I think that's what it comes down to.
I think that's probably, like you said, a strong side order of what's going on right now with the season. You're seeing you got guys that normally wouldn't have had the opportunity. If you had the guys that didn't opt out, you wouldn't have had some guys getting this opportunity. So
why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break, guys? I can tell you this from Adrian Wojnarowski. This is breaking news. Jason Tatum has agreed to one of those max contract deals with the Celtics. So there is actual good Celtics news. Hasn't been a lot this week.
No.
5 years, $5 million extension with the Celtics. That is great news because he could have waited until next year and put everybody into heart failure over the next year.
Is that the super max? Do they have that super
max? No, that is the rookie max, contract.
Yep.
5 year contract, you get 163, or if you make that all pro team, the all NBA team, which he did, you can get 195.
Wow.
So we can give you that breaking news. We'll take a break. When we come back, hopefully Bill Belichick.
The Patriots come up short against the Texans. Back to the real postgame show with Ordway, Diassi, and Smirlis.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans. WEEI.
All right, back here in the real postgame show, all presented by Kaplansky Insurance. Still waiting for Bill Belichick. He has not come out yet, and we'll go to him at the podium once he does. It's an interesting one, guys, from Boston Sports Info today. Cam Newton, 365 yards. We did say that little caveat that last one was kind of a throwaway, but it was the fifth most yards in his regular and postseason career. So he's had five games in which he's had, through the air, 432 yards, 422 yards, 397 yards, that was earlier this year, against Seattle, 374, and 365 today And you ready for this? All five games were losses, and none of them were by more than 7 points. And you know what it tells me? He is capable at times of throwing the football. But when the game is on the line at the end, he suddenly goes into panic mode. And that's where he makes the mistakes. All right, we go to Bill Belichick, and we'll be back and talk more about that.
You know, disappointing outcome for us today. You know, we had some opportunities throughout the course of the game and just couldn't do enough with them in all areas. You know, offensively, we moved the ball, but just couldn't come up with enough points.
We're going to start with his, followed by Ben Vollen.
How you doing, Bill?
Stacey, I'll just go first here. You good, Stacey?
I thought so. Let me try. We'll start with Ben Vollen, followed by Mike Reese.
So let me just open it up first here. So as I was saying, defensively, obviously all the yardage they gained came in a passing game. We didn't do a good enough job there. Especially in the first half, and had some opportunities to convert on third down. And in the red area, we just weren't able to do it. Watson had a good day like we've seen him have before. And they have a lot of good skill players, tight ends and receivers. So we just didn't do enough and didn't do it all times that we needed to. So it's disappointing. But we'll just have to turn a page here and move on. Still have a lot of confidence and belief in the team. If we just do things a little bit better, then I think the results will be different and better. But we just couldn't do it today.
Sorry for the interruption there. We're going to start with Ben Vollen, followed by Mike Reese.
Start my video here. Hey, Bill, it seemed like there were a handful of plays today, particularly the last fourth down on that last possession you guys have, where the Texans had a blitzer come in unblocked, unchecked. It felt like there were a lot of unblocked blitzers today. Just what was the issue there?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a lot. I think it might have happened a couple times, but I didn't block it. They did a good job of timing them up, and we just really have to collectively team, execute better against those plays.
Next question, Mike Reese, followed by Doug Kide.
Bill, have you had a chance to visit with Rex Burkhead at all since the game ended, and any update on how he's doing?
Yeah, I talked to him, and wait and get medical confirmation, but obviously he has a knee injury.
Next question, Doug Kide, followed by Andrew Callahan.
Hi, Bill. Damian Harris was getting a decent amount of usage early in the game, but then that seemed to tail off. I know he came in with a couple of injuries. Were those things related?
No, I don't think so.
And it seems like in this game and maybe some games earlier in the season as well, there have been more missed tackles than usual. Is there anything specific that you could point to for why those might be occurring?
No. Something I have to keep working on.
Thank you.
Next question, Andrew Callahan, followed by Mike Giardi.
Bill, you average around 5 yards per carry on that opening drive, and then your average and your run rate went down significantly. Did you see that as a function of the game script getting out of hand where you're down by 11 at half, or was that a conscious game plan decision?
Well, I think that, Houston, the Texans made some adjustments in the running game, and you know, I think we had, you know, some good opportunities in the passing game, which we took advantage of. We threw the ball pretty well. So I think that's, you know, I think we were able to move the ball. That really wasn't the issue. We had, you know, some penalties stopped us, and then we had some, you know, missed opportunities when we moved it across, across 50 or into the scoring zone.
What did you see from him in the second half that was particularly encouraging, given his, you know, production in that half, I think, was the best in maybe over a month?
Sorry, what was that?
Cam's production as a passer, I mean, he was hitting at all levels of the field and seemed playing as well as he had in a month or perhaps longer. What did you see from him in the second half when the game opened up a little bit?
Yeah, I think he's been playing pretty consistently here for a while. So, we've seen that from him, you know, I think a number of games here, really since the, you know, San Francisco and Buffalo games. You know, he's had a decent productive force. So are the receivers.
Cam Newton is now in Michael Gervais' room. We have Phil Perry followed by Ben Volen.
Hey, Bill, on third down through, it looked like most of the first half when you guys were on the field defensively, it looked like just trying to run or rush three or four players in those situations. Did you feel like you were putting enough pressure on Watson, and how hard is it to strike that balance between having enough in the secondary versus just trying to make the quarterback uncomfortable there?
Well, I mean, those are, I mean, they got a lot of good receivers. They got a good quarterback. You know, they've done pretty well against pressure. Wasn't very good for us last year. We mixed it in there some, but they did a pretty good job with, you know, with all of it, to tell you the truth.
And last two questions, Ben Volen and Mark Daniels.
Hey, Bill, I along those lines, I wanted to ask you about Deshaun Watson, just his ability to create new throwing lanes and to kind of improv a little bit. How difficult was that to defend tonight? How good is he with that?
He's very good at it. Yeah, he's very good at it. He's a big, strong kid, hard to tackle. You know, gets outside the pocket, creates some space out there. And the lines, you know, big, long, you know. They just kind of get in the way, and you know, Watson makes things work out. He's got good pocket presence, and he's a really good quarterback, and he had a really good day today. And all the yards they gained were in a passing game, either him running or him throwing. So, you know, it was the entire offense. And he did a good job with it, obviously.
Thanks.
Mark Daniels. Mark Daniels.
You know what he brings.
All right, we'll end with Steve Sanchez.
He's a warrior. Hi, Bill. Obviously, a disappointing start defensively. Can you talk about your defensive effort there in the second half?
Yeah, well, it was certainly more competitive in the second half. We still, you know, had a couple of second and long and third down conversions that allowed them to get in the field goal range. But it was good to keep them out of the end zone in the second half and, you know, hold them to two field goals. But we gave up, you know, too many points in the first half and just couldn't, you know, couldn't make the stops there in the second half to, you know, keep him out of field goal range. So just, and it got better, and, you know, in the end just wasn't good enough. And, you know, Watson and their offense was, you know, they just, well, coaches and outplayed us today in that phase of the game.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, there you go. There's Bill Belichick out there in Houston. These crazy Zoom press conferences.
Terrible.
Yeah, you know, confusion at the beginning, and Cam Newton is talking at the same time that Bill Belichick is talking. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll actually let people hear from Cam Newton. We'll get more of your phone calls and your reaction. He was talking about the defense in that last question, guys. Defense gave up 7 plays of 20 yards or more.
Yeah.
I don't remember when the last time we've seen that.
Nope. Yeah, tough. And some of them were on missed tackles, some were on bad coverage, and some were just really good throws by Watson. But
yeah.
That was a clinic in terms of...
And a couple third down longs. Yeah. You can't afford that.
Yep.
Terrible.
All right, 617-779-7937 with Fred, with Steve. This is the Real Postgame Show presented by Kaplansky Insurance.
Real Postgame Show on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical. Pros need pros.
And Zooty. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. The Patriots come up short against the Texans. Now it's time for the Real Postgame Show with Glenn Ordway, Steve DiAzzi, and Fred Smirlis. The phone lines are open. Call 617-779-7937. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Ordway, DiAzzi, and Smirlis on EEI.
Patriots end up losing this one. They are now 4-6 in the season, and this hour of the Real Postgame Show being brought to you by McFarlane Energy. You know, Steve, it was interesting. Belichick was asked a question about free runs off the blitz and nobody being touched, and the question was, there were quite a few of them, and he came back and said, well, there were a couple of them. There were at least two and maybe a couple more. So whose fault is that? Because just looking back, and I just saw they were playing some of the highlights of some of the blitzes, they weren't even lined up correctly against them. So is that on the quarterback? The quarterback's got to read that. He's got to unload the ball quickly.
There's a couple ways to deal with that. First off is obviously a hot route. If the receivers see the exact same thing that the quarterback is, they've got to be prepared to cut off whatever route they're supposed to do and adjust accordingly to where the blitzer came from. There's also calls from the quarterback or even the offensive line to adjust to what's being seen. Quarterbacks see it a lot better than the center can see it, but there's a number of different ways to adjust for that. They didn't adjust at all either way.
All right, to the phone calls at 617-779-7937. In a few minutes, we'll let you hear from Cam Newton. Right now, here's Elvin in Swampscott. Hey, Elvin.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Say, Elvin.
Hey, so really, really since this all started, when Brady left and Cam Newton join the team, you know, I've really been telling everyone the storm's coming. You know, Pats Nation's going to have to go through this great awakening. They don't have the best quarterback anymore. They're going to miss the playoffs. Really, nothing's going to stop what's coming with that. But truly, like, in Belichick, we trust, I think, still. Like, he has a team playing semi-competitive. You know, where he goes, we go all. You know, he's going to unleash that Kraken. Unless Goodell comes in and Cabal steals some picks from them, like Dominion steals votes, like, I think the team still has a chance here. What do you guys think?
A chance to what? Make the playoffs this year?
Yeah, make the playoffs.
They have no chance of making the playoffs, Elvin.
Nope.
Don't they have an extra?
They added one team, and they're already 3 games behind most of those teams.
And they might. They
can't
might,
make that up. They might 6 games. One.
You've got the Cardinals. You've got the Chargers, who should be better than they are. The Rams, Dolphins are playing good. Bills are playing good.
The only chance they have is to run the table and win all 6 of these games. Do you think they can do that, Elvin?
Well, if they win 5 of 6, they're 10-6, right?
I don't think five or six is going to work.
5 or 6 get you 9-7.
The math doesn't work. So
nine and seven.
So what's happening here is they have like 6. They actually had 8 teams going into this week that were above them. Now, 2 of those teams are going to be division winners. So you have to beat out a lot of teams in front of you. It's not like you're 1 or 2 teams ahead of you, and you have to make up 2 or 3 games.
Right.
You now have to make up 3 games. And you have all of these other teams that are ahead of you. Cleveland winning today was big. I mean, Miami could, in the next 3 weeks, put themselves with 9 wins in the next 3 weeks.
True. Yep.
Yeah, true. but with the whole coronavirus thing, you never know who's going to be there week in and week out. You don't know who's going
to
show up.
Listen, I appreciate the fact that you're hoping and you're wishing and you're dreaming, and that's all well and good. It's a math problem for them now. They're in too deep a hole. They have no margin for error, and they had no margin for error coming into this game, and they lost it. This is a game that was winnable for them. They were a favorite in this game. They're not going to be favorites in many of these games the rest of the way.
How many wins do the Dolphins have right now? Five or six?
They have six. They're six and three.
Okay, so they got the Jets next week.
They have Denver today. They're losing, actually, but it's a close game. And they have the Jets, and then they have another easy team the week after
Bengals
that.
Without
Joe Burrow. My God.
So,
there you go.
Yep.
I mean, I think they still have a shot at winning the division ahead of Buffalo. I'm sorry I'm saying that to you, Freddie, but
I could see them beat. I think they're tied now with the Broncos 10-10 or something like that, but they can beat the Broncos. They're going to beat the Jets. They're going to beat the Bengals. That's going to be nine wins right there.
I heard this past week before this game that people were looking at it and saying, oh, I still think they can win. And I think what you're doing it is you're basing it on your feeling about the New England Patriots from the last 20 years. That's what you're doing, because if you look at where they are right now and just look at the math, I mean, there are so many teams ahead of them. So right now, the New England Patriots are 4-6, and they are in 10th place. You have to be in the top seven, okay? You have to be in the top seven. They're in 10th place right now. But the biggest problem is they are – the closest team that they can beat out right now is the Baltimore Ravens. So that's the best chance they have, is either winning the division or ending up in a two-way tie with the Baltimore Ravens for that seventh and final spot, because they would win the tiebreaker.
That'd be correct.
Yeah, but there are too many teams ahead of them, guys, with three losses.
Agreed.
Titans, Bills, Browns, Raiders, Dolphins, Colts, all with three losses.
Even if the Dolphins limp into the end of the season, they got the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Raiders, and the Bills the last 4 weeks. That might make them limp into the playoffs, but they're still going to be in the playoffs. It just looks like they're going to get their 10 wins, and that should put you in the playoffs now.
Yeah, I listen.
How far would you go if you got in the playoffs?
Doesn't matter. Would you
just
settle
to get
for the,
there would be something.
Would you settle for the Patriots getting in the playoffs right now?
They're going to be 10-6. I told you that at the beginning of the year. I still got it.
Yeah, turn it around and win eight in a row.
Yeah, I'm not sure this capable is.
So the easy teams.
It's interesting this last caller, Elvin, was talking about, you know, when and Brady lost. But didn't we really get a sense of what was about to happen last year?
Yes, the second half of the season.
Second half of the season. They won the first eight, and they were 8-0. And then what happened in the second season?
Yep.
Second part of the season. They were 4-4, right?
They weren't playing the Sisters of the Poor like they did the first 8 weeks.
And that was with that guy named Tom Brady.
Miami wasn't playing well. Yeah. That was a disaster.
And that was with Tom Brady.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So I think we all know what this is. This is
a rebuilding year.
The rebuilding year. And they have to find themselves a quarterback. And we'll get into that a lot between now and 7:30, because I think it's becoming more and more obvious. And it's not that Cam Newton is terrible. He's not bad. He's just not what you need to take a team and be a deep playoff contender.
You could, if you had a super defense and some stud guy, running backs and some receivers, then you could probably, you know, cover up for some of Cam Newton. Because he's not horrible.
But he still makes mistakes.
He makes too many mistakes for an average team that can't afford too many mistakes.
Well, that number I gave you before of his top five games in yardage, isn't that amazing that he lost all five of those games and they were all win points? Now, you tell me, there are times that you watch him in this game today and he's in a rhythm and he's throwing the ball and he's unorthodox in the way he throws. And you're right, Steve, he kind of winds up and it takes him a while, and yet he gets into a rhythm, and you're sitting there going, okay, this is okay, this is fine. And then when the game is on the line, and it's a big possession, a big play, something always seems to happen. And all year long, it's happened. Why?
Well, the team gets desperate, and they start blitzing and changing up, and he takes too much time to figure out what's going on.
I don't think he inspires desperation in any team right now. But but to your point, Glenn, maybe those games where he was racking up yards, they might have been behind early, and sometimes you just start whipping the ball around.
So let's just look at this year's games. When the game has been on the line and what has happened late in the game. So even when he's been throwing the ball well, like in Seattle, he's doing good things against Buffalo.
Yep.
In the end, when the game is on the line, or again today, when the game is on the line, he can't make that big play.
Right. Yeah, and unfortunately right now you don't have a team that can step up and dominate the game from start to finish.
No.
You know? You're like score points in the first quarter, alone set the tone for a game. I mean, this team barely scores in the first quarter. So, yeah, he's not that guy that's going to take a team on his shoulders. And even if he did, how far could he take a team like this right now? I mean, even if he was that guy. We saw, like, to your point, we saw what happened to the Patriots in the second half of the season last year. They basically just crumbled.
Yeah, I would say the loss of Rex Burkhead, and by the way, it's being reported that it's an ACL, and yep. they're just waiting for the MRI to confirm. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody, and even Belichick, you know, mentioned that it was a knee, so obviously it's bad.
Yep.
But you take him out of the equation and how big he has been in this season for what they're doing. So the one thing that they can do, which keeps them in games, is run the football. Now you take Burkhead out of it. You're bringing Sony Michel back into the equation. I don't think anybody's thrilled about that. And now all you have is Damian Harris, and more Damian Harris.
And he's bumped up a little bit too. He's banged up a little bit. So who knows how that's going? You know, anytime you rely on a running back that much, especially you know when there's very little, when teams can stack the line against you, it's going to be tougher.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right, 677-779-7937. That is our phone number here on the Real Post Game Show. We take a break. When we come back, you'll hear from Cam Newton.
The Patriots come up short against the Texans. Back to the Real Post Game Show with Ordway, Diassi, and Smirlis.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
Back here on the Real Post Game Show with Freddie, with Steve at 617-779-7937. Something that Belichick talked about, which was interesting in the approach into this game, because we talk about how the defense gave up seven plays of 20 yards or more. And if you look at it all game long, how many times did you see Deshaun Watson back there with all sorts of time?
Tons of time.
Oh, my God. I mean, forget it, guys. He for half of those plays, he could stay in the pocket, and then because of his athletic ability, he said, okay, they're chasing me a little bit. Nah, I'm going to squeeze out of the pocket a little bit. And I got to believe that as good as this secondary has been, the Patriots secondary, if you are not putting that type of rush, then those receivers are going to find separation. But Belichick's answer was interesting. He said, we tried that last year against Deshaun Watson, and we didn't have any luck with it. Yeah.
Yep. So,
but they put no rush on him at all, guys.
It looked like
three times on purpose.
Well, it looked like it was supposed to be sort of would that be called the contained sort of rush, Freddie?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Well, the problem with they're doing is they were coming underneath a bunch of times and letting them roll out of the pocket. If you can't get to them, don't let them get out of the pocket. At least there's some cluster in there and they have less of a target downfield for himself, right? And what they were doing is they were coming narrowing, and he was getting out of that pocket. When he was some pressure on him, running down the sideline, getting 7 or 8 yards a carry.
And so even if you do
in the pocket,
even if you do contain him in the pocket and you don't get to him, it's still going to be hard to.
It's going
to
be hard.
To get.
But
to
at least he doesn't have
receivers.
That option of running out.
Well, notice what he does, those guys. He doesn't necessarily go outside. He weaves his way through the
really
bodies,
does. Yep.
And he finds like an opening and whatever. I got to give him credit. He is really good. I mean, you said it earlier, Fred. If you flipped quarterbacks, you tell me what the Patriots would be right now. This kid's pretty good.
He is good. And he's, you know, he doesn't have a great team around him. The defense's not great, but he makes things happen. And like I said, he makes by if he's stuck in a punt and getting some pressure on him, he'll run down the field line, break to the sideline, and put up.
Hard to imagine with him that they have only 3 wins.
I know.
But they played some tough teams, and they
have.
Lost by
and
one
they, and they've been in a lot of games. But I thought it was interesting, the Belichick answer, and maybe we can get him to expound on it a little bit tomorrow on OMF. But that they purposely did that because it never changed. They never, you know, threw extra guys at him. They basically winged it that way. And right now, they had lost offensive line. So, and Bill still had that much fear in his ability. If you're sending extra guys, he's just going to run and get himself 75 or 80 yards right, and burn you that way, right?
He's that good.
In the passes he threw, even when he's hurried, he was throwing on a dime.
Yeah.
He had guys, there was coverage on a lot of those plays. And, I mean, he was throwing it right beyond the fingertips of the defensive back. So he was on running and seeing things, and his passing was tremendous.
He's really good. I guess we're just jealous now every week when you start seeing some of these guys, and we'll probably feel the same way next week
yeah,
with Kyler Murray. You know, boy, why can't we get one of those?
Well, he's a waterbug, yeah, man.
He's playing as well as any quarterback right now.
Yeah. No question.
You know,
and talk about quick.
Oh. Yep. Oh. And talk about a receiving core.
Yeah.
Between yep, Fitzgerald and Hopkins. Oh. Holy moly. Yeah.
I smell a victory. They give him no chance.
Let's go to Bruce. Bruce is in Virginia here on the Real Post Game Show. Hey, Bruce.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey, Bruce.
Good, Bruce.
Last year I was telling your call screener, for the last 7 years, I was flying up there on Saturday, going to the games on Sunday, and flying back early Monday morning to get to work. And I've been doing it for 7 years now. Unfortunately, because of COVID, I couldn't. But I still follow the team, and I go out and watch. The things I have to say today are just mind-boggling to me. How a team that played so well last week on the defense, and you guys just mentioned it, I saw no blitzes during this whole game, I don't think. I didn't see anybody blitzing from the outside. Izzo, to me, is a guy that's on the field, but he can't block, which in, I think it was the third quarter.
He's a body.
He was one of the exactly. And he can't catch a pass, and when he does, he usually fumbles. The offensive line played well, but the defensive line just gave up so many sacks. I mean, Cam Newton was running for his life most of the game. And
they're bringing
I would say
a lot of
guys,
heat. They're bringing a lot of people. When they bring a lot of people,
absolutely,
you got to get the ball up quickly and identify where the guy, blitz is coming from.
They were picking their spots when they were blitzing, too.
I totally agree. But when you get Deshaun Watson, and he's a great quarterback, if Cam would have had the time that he had with only most of the time three guys rushing on the team, I think he could have eaten them up as well.
No, I don't.
He doesn't have that ability. Nope. You're expecting Bruce. Him to be something that he's not.
He doesn't throw as well or run as well.
No.
Doesn't see the field as well.
And part of the problem is when you're talking about protection, it's irrelevant. He holds the ball so long. It takes him so long to wind up. And what foot is he on, the front foot, the back foot? It seems like it's unorthodox. I'm not trying to rip him because he's okay, Bruce. I think he gets the most out of his ability. But he can't do all of these things you're talking about. He's not capable of.
Go ahead.
I don't think it's a Deshaun Watson, but all I'm saying is he only lost by 7 points. And if he would have had some protection, he's not close to Deshaun Watson, I understand. But if he had some protection on that team, and he had a few other receivers.
Well, how much
on
of that was his
like
fault,
Edelman,
though? I brought it up to Steve already. How much of it was his fault, and that you've got to be able to read what they're doing? And if you read that they're going to blitz you, you've got an out there. You've got to be able to throw it quickly and release it. That's what you've got to do. That's your responsibility.
Bruce, he completed 65% of his passes. It wasn't like he wasn't putting up some numbers. It's just that he was making it was too many times where he would throw the ball in the dirt, or when he had an open receiver here or there, or take a sack when it should have been predicted. There was one sack where the guy, he was facing the guy, and he never saw him until he got hit.
Never saw him.
Doesn't see the field real well. When you're putting eight guys out there, they did that against Kansas City, and it worked for a while. He did a pretty good job of shutting him down. But this is a great pinpoint passer. And if you bring five, six guys, it's going to leave someone open, and they know that. So he's trying to block all the options for him downfield by putting a lot of coverage out there.
It's true.
And that's what he was throwing the coverage, and he threw some passes that were right 2 inches in front of the defensive back's hands.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
He was
throwing very precise passes, and he read the whole field.
That's the problem. He needs the whole field. So leave something open, he's going to find it.
Yeah, I think it is amazing when you look at the completion percentage, and it's been high all year long. And I think that's because, again, they're limiting him to where he can throw. And so they're not giving him really risky stuff to do. The biggest problem I have with Cam is he'll look for a while because he's following what they want him to do. But then again, in big plays, that's where you have to make big decisions. And once again, tonight, his decisions were not good on those big plays.
Part of the issue, too, is that whether we want to or not, 20 years of Tom Brady has made us look at the quarterback position in a different manner. So even if we're trying to say let's not compare him to Tom Brady, how do you not look at 20 years of what Brady did? It's and even if you want to break that down, call it 13 years since 2007 when he started lighting it up like crazy. I wasn't expecting him to come in and do what Tom Brady did. I wouldn't expect that of any quarterback.
Well, you expect a guy that was, player of the year at one time. And
MVP,
MVP and all that stuff. And he came here and he doesn't have fundamental stuff. Looking at what a defense, figuring out who's coming where, who the open guy is going to be.
Just tells you what kind of athlete he is.
Because in 2015, he was younger. His body wasn't beaten up as much. And he's such a big body, he can power his way through. Which, by the way, Watson did on that one play, that one touchdown. That did look like Cam Newton. What it looked like. But, again, I think Steve's right about the Tom Brady thing, is that we're so accustomed to seeing Brady make the right decision late in games. This is all foreign to everybody. Everybody's, what the hell is this? And so I think he's not awful. I mean, the people who think he's awful, he's not awful. He's just not good enough to elevate you up to be a playoff team.
Well, he's not good enough. Listen, not for nothing, but Brady wasn't good enough to carry this team on his back the last the second half of last year either.
No, he was not.
I mean, as good as Brady,
a playoff game.
Yeah,
right?
As good as Brady is, and we've seen him have some tremendous games this year too. He wasn't good enough to carry the team.
With that type of talent in front of him.
Well, again, I'm not going to say this lack of talent because we've seen him win with lack of talent.
But Tom had lack of talent, and he couldn't get the ball off as quickly because the team was in the right places.
No. Brady would get the ball off quickly. That's the difference. That's right. He knew, and he knew where. And to your point about the talent around him, Tom also knew that his receivers were going to be where they were supposed to be.
Right. And that's why I got frustrated a bunch of times because they weren't doing as well down the stretch.
Well, and he wasn't playing as well either.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah. What did you just say?
He wasn't playing as good.
How dare you
can't
talk
play
about
Tom Brady? Because they're not doing what the receiver is supposed to do.
Abandoned him already.
Armageddon upon us. He just said something bad about Tom Brady.
I just said, because he's throwing the ball where he's supposed to be. And people like you that don't understand Tom Brady and hate him.
The world is ending.
But this is what Cam, you can't expect an average quarterback to go out there with below average talent and carry him.
Good point.
I think it's pretty obvious through these games so far. Here's Bob in Woburn. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
How are you guys? I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, I think it was the defense or secondary. In my opinion, the McCourty brothers ought to be arrested for imitating football players.
All right. You're getting paid well for
it. Whichever was awful today.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to disagree. They went up against one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and they didn't show out. And oftentimes, though, Bob, oftentimes, as is the case in 99% of the situations in the NFL, there's a symbiotic relationship between players. You're not just having one guy. There's got to be a lot of things going on to thoroughly grade an individual. And the simplest thing that you're talking about, If you're a cornerback or a safety and you've got no pressure on the quarterback whatsoever, and you're expected to cover your guy for 6 or 7 seconds,
forget about it.
It's not going to happen.
Well, in the end zone, the receiver ran all the way back and forth.
Could they have played better? Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. It's very difficult. If you count to six and the quarterback's still up, he's probably going
to
complete.
I would say to Bob, the biggest problem they had in this game was not necessarily the cornerbacks; it was more the guys that were lined up against tight ends. Jordan Akins had 5 catches for 83 yards in this game. Jordan Akins did. Yep. Right? Darren Fells had 2 for 29. Farrell Brown had 2 for 22. What are we talking about?
Yep.
Right? Those were the killers, I thought, in the course of the game today. Those were the killers. Here's Steve in Fall River. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
How are you?
Miserable.
All right.
I hope you're awful today.
What's your take this week on why the Patriots have been terrible for 20 years?
They haven't been terrible for 20 years. They just haven't been dregs because you just said it. Brady was able to elevate this nearly same pile of garbage to 12 wins.
Or Bill Belichick helped, too. Did Bill Belichick help, Steve?
Great coach. Belichick helped, but helped not a little bit. In the same way.
Just a little bit.
He helped. No, he helped.
A little bit.
Look, guys. I don't want to talk about that debate. That debate.
Yeah, because you lost that years ago.
Sound like a fool every time you talk.
You lost that years ago.
So get into a new debate. Maybe you'll be foolish with a new debate. Go ahead.
Bill Belichick is not the guy to rebuild the Patriots. He cut half of his draft from 2 years ago last night, guys. Saturday night.
That good. How do you do in previous drafts?
Okay. Well. Okay. It doesn't matter what horrible in the last six.
How do you do over the last 20 years in drafts?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because you say it doesn't matter, Steve.
Tell me how the 2001 draft is going to help me in 2021.
No, you're just saying he's
I'm
not.
I'm going to sit here and listen.
All right, actually, Steve, you already stopped. I told you, you're going to listen. Wait a minute, Steve, you said you were going to listen.
Glad you got the button.
Steve, you said you were going to listen. You said you were going to shut up and listen, which I knew was a lie in the first place. But anyway.
Don't trust him.
All I'm saying, listen. You can point a lot of fingers around. Go ahead, point some at Belichick. Go ahead, point some at Cam Newton. Point it at Josh McDaniels. Point it at whoever you want. It doesn't matter. The fact is there anybody in the history of the NFL that you'd rather have running your franchise than Bill Belichick?
Right now, anybody but
give
him.
Give me a name. Give me a name. Give me a name. Give me a name.
I don't need a name.
In the history of the NFL.
I'm talking about running the draft.
Names you can choose from.
Well, someone won all those games.
I would say he's a pretty good roster builder overall, Steve.
They don't win all those games.
Steve's got a legitimate case over the last 4 years.
Sure.
5 years with the draft. Maybe even six. I'll give you that.
Listen.
He does have that.
Listen, when you're drowning in a sea of being wrong, you'll grab onto anything you can grab onto.
What I don't understand.
He's been consistent, though, Steve.
I think all of us identify that what they're doing right now is they're going through a rebuilding period.
Happens to all the teams.
Okay, right. Every team has to go through a rebuilding period. It's where Steve has been wrong is Steve thought the rebuilding period began 18 years ago.
That's good
And then
point.
17 years ago, and then 16. Every year he's called up and said, they suck, they're awful, they don't have this, they don't draft well.
Oh.
And then they keep on winning. So Steve's a little bit confused. We're finally identifying this is a rebuilding period, and Steve is still lost from I don't know how many years.
He's just lost. That's pretty
good. Yeah. Mike's in a car. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
Good.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously we should have known, everybody should have known coming into this year that it was going to be a rebuilding year.
Agreed.
But I'll tell you, I mean, I'm 40 years old. I remember the Patriots before they were good, before the Brady Belichick era. So it's not just about winning. It's about, like, just how entertaining the games are. And I'll tell you, these games have just been so freaking hard to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, everything on offense is just so slow developing. Even a simple handoff.
Yeah.
Cam holds onto the ball forever before he lets the ball go. I remember first two or three games of the season, that was the announcers were praising, like, oh, look how long he holds onto the ball. And I'm screaming at my TV, like, that is not a good thing.
Now, that's a good point. That's a good point you're bringing up, Mike. But again, you watched excellence for most of the last 20 years. Now you're seeing what it's like for a 6-10 team, a 7-9 team, or I don't think they're getting 8-8 right now. But this is what they are, and so you're seeing what everybody else in the country's been watching with their own teams.
But Glenn, that's not what I'm saying. I understand, like I said, I understand that they weren't going to win every game and all that stuff. I'm just talking about you watch some of these other teams that are 2-7, 3-5, whatever, that aren't great, and they're at least entertaining to watch.
I don't buy that.
Who's gonna give me?
I don't buy. Who's entertaining?
Give me a two or three win entertaining team.
I'll give you a team. Houston. Okay. There's three. Nobody would be there today. They had 13,000 fans. Most of them were Patriot fans. You know why? Because the Houston Texan fans have turned them off.
Even though they were in the playoffs a couple years in a row.
We are spoiled.
You're spoiled. Yes,
we are. We are. Not spoiled. Just you. All of us.
You know what? They are exciting, though, because they had a chance to win at the end of the game and most of the games they played. Right?
Well, Freddie, you've seen it because you follow Buffalo closely. And you tell me through all of those years that Buffalo wins 4, 5, and 6 games.
Remember, they didn't win the they didn't go to the playoffs for like 10 years, 15 years.
Did anybody think they were exciting or interesting? Bad teams are not interesting and not exciting because they make too many mistakes.
Well, today they made a ton of mistakes also that killed them.
Yeah.
You're right, though. We're used to perfection virtually, and the most dominant team in the history of football. And now we get, you know, mediocrity.
At best.
At best.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, because they're in the games. It's not like they just come out
I think the most fascinating part of this season, because this loss today, I think, really kills their chances of the playoffs. Yep. So I think that's off the table right now.
Especially coming off a nice win like last week.
Yeah, and they may have team along the way here, or maybe they beat Arizona at home. Who knows? They might do that. They just can't sustain it and win 6 games here. I don't think they can do that. And so the season is probably, from a vantage point of making a postseason, is probably gone. On the other hand, the offseason may be quite interesting because they have lots of money. We're going to find that because of COVID, the ceiling for the cap number is going to drop for teams. Teams are going to have to give up good players, and that's where, you know, Steve from Fall River can say all he wants. That's where Belichick is really good building rosters, going out and getting some
veterans,
And cheap.
Yeah, your point's even better because the money most of the money, you know how much money you're going to spend on rookies on your draft class. The rest of that money is for guys that Belichick can find that he thinks can already play in the league. And he's been
which he does year in
and
year out. Linebackers, a Jones.
He's missed a few times here and there, but he's made so many more good acquisitions from guys that other teams didn't know how to use.
That's right.
Yeah, I think the offseason is going to be fascinating to watch how this thing plays out. And of course, they have to find a quarterback because, again, I'm simply not sold that Cam Newton is going to be the quarterback of New England Patriots. And talking about Cam, we will hear from him coming up next. We'll take more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937. It is the Real Postgame Show here with Ordway and Freddie and Steve.
The Patriots come up short against the Texans. Back to the Real Postgame Show with Ordway, Diassi, and Smirlis.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans. WEEI.
Back here on the Real Postgame Show, as Bill Belichick said, we just didn't do enough in critical times. And the Patriots end up losing to the Houston Texans, and they could not make any of the big critical plays they had to make. We're going to get back to your phone calls in just a couple of minutes at 617-779-7937. But here is Cam Newton in Houston.
Demir talked about execution. What were your thoughts on the team's offensive execution on the last drive?
It was okay. You know, we were moving the ball, so it wasn't like it was a lack of execution. It just has to be just a little bit more execution on the gotta have it situations and situation of football.
Next we'll go to Tara Sullivan, followed by Dan Roach.
Hey Cam, this may be a harder question to ask after a loss, and I know you did talk a little bit during the week about your influence on many other quarterbacks, but you did just play Deshaun and he played really, really well today. And I know you're not watching as that happens, but do you think in the long view someday you'll really absorb the influence or long lasting sort of generational impact that you've had on quarterbacks around the league?
It's too early to tell right now. You know, my main focus is trying to win football games for the New England Patriots, and that's where I keep it.
Sorry, follow up. Just if you could just walk through that the final play, the 4th and 4, just kind of how it unfolded from your point of view and what happened on it.
Yeah, we had a good play call. But it just came down to execution. You know, they brought some pressure. I tried to, you know, make the most of it. But at the same time, that was a good defense. That team was not a indication of what their record said. You know, we knew that. They had a lot of talent on that team, especially defensively. But yeah, through it all, man, we just got to take this opportunity and learn from it and just be ready to go next week.
Next up, Dan Roach, followed by Levin Reed.
Cam, how difficult was it to lose Rex Burkhead?
It's extremely, you know, devastating, knowing that the how great of a teammate he is, knowing how great of a leader he is, knowing how great, you know, what he brings to this team. But, you know, he's a warrior, and I know he'll be back, you know, stronger, and you know, his fluence will be missed.
Frustrating was it to just not come out of here with a W? You talked about it being all about winning. You guys seemed like you got back there in the second half and just couldn't get that final, you know, points to tie things up and take it from there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the only reason why you do play is to win. So, you know, for us, we just got to play better offensively, myself included. You know, accept challenges from where they come. You know, our defense did give us our. We got to keep thriving on, you know, becoming the best team that we can possibly be.
Next, we go to Levin Reed, followed by Doug Kide.
Kim, what happened in the second half that allowed you and Demir Byrd to have the connection and hit on big plays?
Demir is just, you know, doing exactly what he's been doing all year, pretty much in practice and all, you know, for it to show up in the game. It's just what, you know, coach always talks about, you know, practice, preparation, and execution turns into in-game reality. So, you know, Demir's been doing a great job on those routes, and for him to keep coming downhill and for it to show up on game day, you know, it just showed what he's capable of doing today.
Is it simple as doing better on first and second down so you don't end up in the third and longs that you ended up today?
No, we just got to sustain drives. I feel like, you know, with a defense like we played today, you know, with such a strong, you know, front seven, you know, we just got to make sure that we sustain drives, keep them out there. They don't typically give up big plays. We knew that coming into this game. Have to find ways to, you know, string together plays, run the football, keep them off balance with the pass. And, you know, we're able to do that some. And sometimes we just got one dimensional. But yet through it all, like I said, we had our opportunities. You know, coach believed in us, you know, and he leaned more so on the passing game today. And we just got to find ways to win.
Next up, Doug Kide, followed by Jimmy Gohan.
I came in a question or two late on this, but J.J. Watt had four batted passes in the game. Was there anything specific that was leading to those, you know, passes batted at the line of scrimmage?
He's J.J. Watt.
He doesn't get batted passes every game. So, anything specific that he was doing?
He's an all-pro, perennial all-pro. He's a defensive player of the year, one of the best players in this generation. So, for us, you know, it is what it is. They get paid too, you know. So, for us to go against that, I'm not saying we fold up the tent, but at the same time, they're going to make plays just like we're going to make plays, and we just can't get, you know, been out of shape when that happens. We just got to move on and still be able to move the ball like we did show sometime today, but not enough.
Thanks. And looks like final question will go to Jimmy Golan.
Actually, that wasn't a question. You can go ahead and give it to someone else.
Go to Phil Perry.
Hey, Cam, sorry, I came in a couple questions late, but there were a couple of moments in this game, you know, particularly on that fourth down at the end, where Houston was able to get some free rushers into the backfield on you guys. Was there anything consistent in those moments that was happening on your offense's end that led to those moments?
We just have to go back and watch the film, learn from it, be better from it, and we'll put back in that situation again. We'll execute better.
It brought some pressure off the left side there on that one, Cam. And Isaiah had just come out of the game. Did that have anything to do with any communication on that side of the line there?
I wouldn't say that. You know, they brought that pressure multiple times the day. We knew that they were a, you know, repeat type of defense. And if it hurt us one time, which it did, you know, they'll come back to it. And surely they did. So for us, it's just a matter of, you know, understanding, you know, situation of football, and in that position, got to have the situations, and everybody be firing on all cylinders. But like I said, we learn from it, and be better from it, and just have another opportunity this week coming up with a great week of practice and our next opponent.
Here you go, Cam Newton, right after the game down there in Houston. The Patriots lose it. He talked about sustaining long drives, and Freddie, you brought this up earlier in the show today. So in the third quarter, at the late in the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, they had a drive. They were down by 7 points, 24-17. They had a 16-play drive that lasted 9 minutes and 25 seconds. Went 65. And what did they settle for? They settled for a 36-yard field goal.
Because of the sack.
Yes.
That's what killed you. Yeah. You put that many plays, that much time. You can't go out of there with a field goal, especially when you're down by seven.
Well, when he talks about finishing drives, that's exactly what he's talking about.
And you got to finish the drive and not make a...
And too often the drives were finished by a sack or a pressure that caused the ball to be thrown away or just a bad throw here and there.
Well, he got sacked. He got into a big hole, and then they had a 3rd and 17.
Right.
And he got it out to Myers. The problem was you had to make up 17 yards, and he made up like about 8 of them. So imagine if they didn't make up those 8, and you're kicking a much deeper field goal than 36 yards.
Agreed.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of work, though, Steve. When you're trailing by 7, to use up over 9 minutes of the clock, and you can only come away with 3.
I know.
And you still need a touchdown.
Then that last possession, guys, that was 11 plays.
Yep.
Now, it was only 3 minutes, but they didn't get anything out of that. They had 11 plays. They kept moving the chains.
And what happened at the end?
They still screwed up at the end, Fred.
It's sack. Yeah. You can't have... If that blitz is coming, throw the ball away if you don't see anybody. But you got to see the whole field before the game. When they line up, it's a tendency to come forward, and you can adjust your play.
And your receiver.
Said, you got to look to your left. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to do it again and bring up Tom Brady's name again, but I think people underestimate, and we saw a lot more of it from Brady last year where he threw the ball away and just lived for the next down. And a lot of people didn't, you know, they looked at that and they said, what the hell is he doing? Well, he's doing exactly what Cam Newton can't do right now, and that is to be able to get rid of the ball and not go minus 9 yards, not be put in a position where you have a 3rd and 17.
Not where you're deep in the red zone and you need a touchdown and you get a field goal and time's running out. You know, you don't want that. You can't do that. You got to understand where you are.
And that's situational awareness should not be an issue for him. He's been in the league long enough. Yeah. He's been in probably every situation you could imagine as a quarterback. So now it's the other part of that too. Anytime you have a blitz like that, you know, sometimes your receivers have to cooperate and run the hot route. Sometimes your offensive line or running back has to step up and make a good block.
Virtue on every if you're gonna. You know,
it should be for blitzes unless you're in a max protection.
Aware's everybody, yeah. What's happening? He's got to do that. So
No. You're correct. Aware. Most of the time, you're correct. But this offense has been predicated on the receivers knowing exactly what's going on too. How many times have we talked about in the past where the receivers would even make reads as they were running the route? They would see Edelman in particular, even Welker did it back in the day, where you would see how that defense developed. And you would settle down in the proper area.
I don't see an awful lot of that now, do you?
No, I don't.
And I think that's why you're finding that he's going to certain guys. So he went to Jacoby Myers, so now that's suddenly on film, and teams are sitting there going, this is their main receiver right here. This kid Myers, number 16, so we got to do something with him. So now suddenly he is not open. He's also matched up with their best cornerback.
Right.
So now then what does he do? He suddenly hones in tonight on Demir Bird or this afternoon. And so he goes to him late in the game. Once they started figuring out that he was going to Bird and he was just isolating on that one guy, he had to go to N'Keal Harry. I mean, it's almost predictable, isn't
and
it?
He caught the ball. Which was good.
He did catch the ball, Fred, one time. He did, but one time he was a yard short, if you remember. He went out of bounds. He needed to get one more yard.
Awareness.
For the first time. Talk about it. Yeah, he is just, boy, has there ever been a guy that you look at that they really needed desperately to be good, and he's been so disappointing.
Yep. Yeah,
doesn't
it's a shame.
Seem like he's into it that much. I mean, he's a
no, I agree
guy.
With you, Fred. I don't know what they said, but is he overwhelmed by it? Is he one of those guys that just thought he would come in here and purely on athletic ability he would be able to just
could be?
I don't know.
You know what? You had a year under a Tom Brady-led offense where you knew, well,
Brady never threw to him, though.
He never did, but he also...
He was hurt half the year, too.
But you also, whether you're hurt or not, you still see how they conduct themselves and how they work in not just in practice, but in the meeting rooms and after meetings or coming in early or even just the weight room, whatever. You were around a number of guys that knew what it took to compete on the best level. So if you're not learning that from that 1 year... You would have expected at least a jump forward this year, and you see nothing of the sort.
Well, we talked about it all the time with Brady, that he throws to the open receiver, and he'll buddy involved. And again, here we go. We're comparing him to Tom Brady. Again, not really fair. But the one thing that you do see with Cam Newton is just the opposite. He'll end up throwing to a few different receivers during the course of the game, but he'll throw to one receiver 4 or 5 times. Now, N'Keal Harry has 0 targets. He throws to him back-to-back plays in this game. Yep. And then threw to him 2 plays later. That was the one in the dirt that you were talking about, Fred.
Yep.
One was in the dirt that actually Harry was able to pick up, and they called it a catch. And the Patriots rushed up to the line of Lucky. Scrimmage because they yep. were fearful of a challenge. And then another one that really was in the dirt. But he just goes to one receiver, and he'll reel off 5 or 6 passes to that guy, and then he'll move to the next guy because defensively they make adjustments.
Yeah,
and the problem is that defenses and good coaches are so good at – or not so good. It's standard procedure that you're going to make adjustments. It's standard procedure in the NFL. If you don't make adjustments, you're not going to be around coaching that long. So – of course you have to anticipate the idea that the defenses are going to, just like they took the receiver out of the game this week pretty much. I mean, it wasn't, why am I forgetting his name? Myers, Jacoby Myers, excuse me.
Took him out.
Well, they took him out of the game. Well, didn't you had to anticipate that, and Bird stepped up and did stuff, but. You know,
and then they took the running out of play, stacking an extra guy up there and bringing a safety up, and they changed all of that. So you're right. I mean, they do it on the fly, and unfortunately, this team is not skilled enough, and the quarterback, I don't think, reads well enough defensively, and so there are limitations.
They look at the weakness of the quarterback. He doesn't read things quickly. He takes a long time to wind it up, and the ball comes out at height. And then J.J. Watch could jump. How many times did he block Tom's?
He had 4.
Never blocked Tom.
Yeah, one game we blocked 7 of his passes.
Watch your mouth when I'm leaving.
What? All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get back to your phone call. 617-779-7937. A disappointing loss. Once again, they are in this game with an opportunity to tie it up, and they can't get it done.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.